Trying to deal with it before we finish this chapter. I want to give enough time to just to finish the chapter.
Question was in terms of relationship. In fact, with both sides, that means if we have a question, we should get an answer. But in some case, if we don't get an answer, what to do with this relationship? How to react with this relationship?
Okay. So the question, I think, to correct me if I'm right, I'm not sure what you mean by the relationship. What I'm hearing in the question is, how do we deal with questions? Important question. I'm not talking about idiotic questions that are not really that relevant to your life. I'm talking about real questions when you don't have answers. What do you do with questions that you don't have answers to? So that's big. That's a big question. Some people, it doesn't bother them. A lot of people have lots of questions. And there's no money in them just because they're not curious. But if a person is curious, a person has questions, what do you do with the unanswered questions? And this is a real life question. I'll tell you why. Because most things in the world, we have questions on without answers. I think you'll agree with me that we know less than there is to know out there. That's for sure. That's for sure. There's much more to know out there than we know. So we have more questions than answers. So how do we live with that? How do we deal with it? Sure. So there's a couple of ways of approaching this. Lemaisa, I'm not talking about philosophically. I'm talking about the Maisa. How do you deal with it? Because it a lot's going to depend on your personality. A person who doesn't have an answer to his question can't function. So just to put it into perspective, I love telling the story about the robot chiller. There was a was mamash the story, and hits the nail on the head. Will answer your question, I hope. The way things worked with the Roger Chiver is people used to learn, and if they had a kasha, really big kasha, they used to send it off to the Roger Chiver. And the Roger Chiver, the way he replied to the question, he didn't answer your question, he just sent you Myra McComas. He sent you Myra McComas, which if you learned the Myra McComas, you understood that you would get an answer to your question. There was a certain Talmud Chacham who'd been learning, and he had a major kasha. He had a big kasha in his learning, and he wrote the letter to the driving imam. He tried everything, spoke to this on that, but he couldn't get an answer. So I wrote a letter to the Rav Chiver, and he said, I'm learning, and I got this kasha, and I was talking to lots of people, and I can't carry on. The discussion overwhelmed me, and it's all-consuming. I need an answer to this question. And he sent up the question to the Rav Chiver. After a while back, the letter comes back, and it's a long, long list of Myra McComas. So no, he's not surprised, because he knows this is a big kasha. So obviously, the answer is going to be Murkav, it's going to be made up of lots and lots of different pieces. And there's a list of places, one places after the other. And he starts learning. He learns the first places. He doesn't see what it's going to do with his question. Well, he understands. His question's a big question. So he understands it's going to be, he goes to the next places, doesn't see what that place has to do with the first places, doesn't see what that has to do with his question. Anyway, after like 20 places, there was no kesha between anything. He just couldn't. He was patsatsing. So he hired a wagon and he went off to Rogachev to meet the Rogachev. So he went and he waited, eventually got into the Rogachev and he said, listen, I know that I had a very good kasha, a very difficult kasha, and I understand the answer is not going to be kosher. I don't know what the Rog means here. What is the answer to my question? So Rogachev said, let me have a look at the list. So he went through the list, he had a look and he said, he said, you wrote to tell me that you can't carry on, you can't learn because these kashas are driving you mad, this kasha you've got. Said, I sent you a list of all the places in Shas that come after a Tosfos that finished to the Tzarichim. Yeah, you get it? There are many places in that end with the Tzarichim, places are Siksha, and he says, I don't know, I don't have an answer. Tzarichim, this needs more work. And what comes straight after that Tosfos is another Tosfos. You told me you couldn't carry on learning because you had a Kasha. I just showed you the Tosfos carried on learning even though you had a Kasha. Fine. So that's a nice story. It's cute, it's funny, but it's more goes to the core of what we're asking here. If a person has a kasha, first of all, you have to know, you may not get an answer to your kasha, and you have to be able to carry on with life even though you have a kasha. That's number one. It's the first you saw in answering your question. We don't become immobilized and devastated and whatever, because we have a kasha, we can't go weiter. That's number one. Number two is we and this is very important. This you get when you learn enough tomorrow, you'll see this. The questions, if you ask enough questions, the questions themselves start creating patterns which provide the answer. the questions themselves are the key to understanding, because the question is letting you know what you don't understand, and it directs you into the place that you need to understand. If you didn't ask the question, you wouldn't know what you don't understand. The famous Meiser, Risocha Meir Zatzal, went to the Briskerov once. And he had an amazing kasha on in Baba Kama, that he was learning Baba Kama at the time. He was a fin yeshiva. Risocha Meir was the bocha in Ponovich. He was the Shpitz Masmid. He was the best bocha in Ponovich in those days. And he went to speak and learning with the Briskerov. So he must have been somebody if he was a bocha speaking learning with the Briskerov. So he told the kasha to the Briskerov in Baba Kama, and the Briskerov praised his kasha. And he went off. He said, whoa, what about a teretz? What about an answer? So listen carefully. The Briskerov's teretz wasn't a dechi. It wasn't just pushing him off. He was teaching him a deep lesson in learning. He said to him, you are so clear about what you don't understand. What more do you want? Your kasha tells me that you mamash have total clarity in what you don't understand. What more do you want? You want a teretz? What will the teretz do? The teretz will make you think that now you do understand it, but you won't understand it. You know what you don't understand. Live with what you don't understand, knowing, I don't understand this. And then as life unfolds, and as you learn more, and as you develop more, another question will come, another question will come. And eventually those questions will create a pattern which will give you an ability to understand the answer properly. Cheap, quick answers to good questions, that's all they are, the cheap answers to a good question. Better to hold on to the question, because the question is leading you in the direction of knowledge. That question will open up doors of knowledge to you, whereas a quick answer will lock the door and you won't learn anything anymore. The minute you know something, you don't learn anymore. The question is what opens your mind to gaining more and more and more. The questions are the most precious gifts you've got. So Mark Weinberg was used to say, said by the Goyim, when a kid takes the first step, what's the big moment in a kid's life? He takes his first step. So the shoe he was wearing when he took the first step, they used to take it and they used to bronze it. Yeah, they used to make it into a bronze shoe and they used to put it on the mantelpiece or whatever, you know. But the ball that he kicked the ball with, he bronzes that and he hangs up in his room, you know. Like the things that were important to him. But Mark says, you know what we put on the mantelpiece? Our kid's first question. When a kid asks a question, you notice kids ask lots of questions. Well, when you're not on the answer. You can tell the kid 10 answers, already asking, he's not listening to you anymore, he doesn't want the answer, he's just asking questions the whole time. By the way, you know when he stops asking questions? When he starts going to school. The schools don't encourage you to ask questions, schools encourage you to just listen and regurgitate back what you were told. So then they see and they realize that asking questions is a choshuv, they stop asking questions. You want to try and prevent that, you want them to always ask questions. We celebrate the kid's question, why? Because the question opens up the gateways to knowledge. So. Obviously, there's certain things you want an answer to. If you find a bureau and ask him what brocha to make on an apple, he doesn't go, wow, excellent question, brilliant, wow, let me, you know, get back to me in 10 years. No, there's certain things you need an answer to, you want to know what to do. That's fine, that's not your problem. The problem is when you have deep kashas, where we have deep philosophical problems, where we have deep practical problems, we don't know what to do. Allow the question to grow, allow the question to sit, make the question bigger if you can. Bring more aspects to the question, expand the question. You'll see the question itself, if it's well asked, that is the answer. The question is the answer. That's just the beginning of dealing with it. I can only deal with this more at length if we learn Gemara together. I'll show you that the whole of Gemara is built like that. The whole Gemara is built around questions. Have you noticed? One question after that, and it tries an answer doesn't work, and we go back, and we come back, and another question, and every question you have, all it does is it gives rise to a new question. And every answer the Gemara gives raises another question. And then Rashi, and then Pesach, and it's endless, okay? Asking questions the whole time, and that's how the Haggadah Shel Pesach is built. It's built around questions. We want the question, then you notice in the Haggadah, nobody ever answers the question. Quite terrifying, no? The kid gets up and does his money shtana, you know, and he prepares it for a whole year, and he gets up and asks you 4 questions, and you never answer it. How does Avodim Mayun or whatever, how does it answer anything in the 4 questions? Don't answer the 4 questions. Also, when somebody brings down, that's the Ikalimut, and you don't answer the question. You talk around the questions, but you allow the questions to grow and build, and those questions build you as a person. And that's what we're striving for. Ask questions. Notice differences in the world. Ask yourself, why is this like this? Why is that like that? Be curious. I'm telling you, the most important quality that we have in our lives is, and it's lacking terribly in this generation, is curiosity. We're so bombarded with information that we stop thinking. The core thinking is about being curious. Hey, I wonder what that's about. Interesting. In marriage, for example, if you want to understand everything you need to understand about your wife, so you're going to be terribly frustrated because you'll never understand anything about it. Not because there's something wrong with her, just because there's so much more to understand. There's more and more and more. There's depth there to everybody. Every human being you meet is always going to surprise you because they've always got depths that you never knew were there. But in the marriage environment, that becomes critical. If you're going to want to understand everything there is, and every time you don't understand something, you're going to get upset. You can't live like that. Ma'ot chashuv to recognize that there's more to understand than what you understand. And therefore, to be curious and be surprised and allow questions to sit. I mean, you learn a sefer, for example. You're taking a sefer like this sefer. Many questions, many, many questions. It's good. It's good that you've got questions. It's helpful. It's useful. First of all, it teaches you what you don't understand, like the Biskorov said. But again, it's the curiosity. It's the investigation. We say in the Pasuk, Yismach Leiv Mavak Shei Hashem. Be glad about those of you who search for Hashem. It doesn't say those of you who found Him. The journey towards Hashem is a journey of looking, of investigating, of searching, of growing. That's what we need to instill into our children. We need to instill that into our children because the schools don't. The schools take that away from the children. The schools don't give that to the children. To be an individual, to be a thinker, to be curious, to investigate. It's not encouraged. What's encouraged is you've got another material, you've got to pass the test, you've got to get through. Yeah, find it. That's not the way you learn. That's not the way you learn. And the way you learn is by asking, by making mistakes, by getting wrong shot, then trying to get another shot, and looking and searching. That's how we grow. So that's the beginnings of an answer to your question. I told you yesterday, people are driving themselves mad because they can't understand everything. You have to be very, very small to think you can understand everything because you think the world's very small. A very small person, he thinks a world small like him, so you can understand everything. Because he's not so difficult to understand because he doesn't have that much going for him. But somebody who understands a little bit more, he understands how big the world is, understands how complex it is, how difficult it is. We don't understand ourselves. We can't understand how we do things and we look at ourselves and go, what was I thinking? What was I doing? That's inside. What about the roof? We don't even understand our eyes, we understand how our fingers work, we understand how you lift your hand. We don't understand anything. And it's good to be curious, like, well, how does my hand go up? Like, you know, I just think my hand should go up and it goes up. How did that happen? Oh, wow, well, if that interests you, go look at it. If it does, you go, okay, fine. You know, that's Hashem. How my hand gets lifted up, that's Hashem. That's what we call Elohim. Many, many ways to do this, but we have to be curious. We have to be going after asking questions and looking, and that's the joy of life. You look at the big Bale Musa. You look at take somebody not from the last generation. I met him with Avigdor Miller, the Tzadik Livracha. His genius was his curiosity. He went and looked and learned and investigated things. That who ever thinks about stuff like that? Who spends hours looking at a tree to notice what's going on in a tree? He wrote the whole. I mean, just you can get to levels of Ruach HaKodesh just by understanding how a tree works. He says it. He said when he was in Slobodka, he once went to lay down in the field. It was a daisy, like a little yellow flower there. He said he looked at the thing for 2 hours. He meditated on that flower for 2 hours. He said he got to levels korov lenavua, or ruach hakodesh. And he said about himself. He said the only charata he had was that he never did it again. What are you looking at a flower? You look at a flower for 2 hours. I don't know what you'll see. I can look at a flower for 3 hours. Something's going to happen. No, you look at a flow of curiosity, trying to understand it, see where that, how does that work, where does that go, why is that like that? Well, you ask questions, you go somewhere with your questions. Questions move you to new places, they move you into higher places, into bigger places. And that's why when you learn Gemara, you ask a question, and within half a nanosecond, three people are already shot back an answer, you're not growing, they're not going anywhere. You can't grow. I used to have a rule in my Gemara share that you weren't allowed to answer a question that anybody asked, not just me, anybody asked, for at least 60 seconds. People couldn't do it. I'm telling you now, people couldn't do it. 60 seconds was too long. Somebody asked a question. Okay, so have the decency to think about the question for a few minutes before you start going boom, boom. No, I'm telling you, and I was strict about the rule. People couldn't do it. I realized it's you're asking people to do something they can't do. Somebody asked a question, think. So you won't have an answer, okay? So what? They're going to think you're stupid? So if you're stupid, then you're right, then they're right to think you're stupid. If you're not stupid, what do you care what people think of you? I'm just saying, people, they have to have an answer. Can't go away. What's the answer? Did you see what a kasha that was? Did you see what a question God just asked? The beauty of the question? So you won't have an answer. Like Pesos didn't freak out because he didn't eat tzarichi and go back. I once got a call from where I used to learn with somebody in South Africa many years ago. Choshen Chamat Chochem, who's like the sort of the Mashgiach around. And someone's asked him a question in learning in Chumash. He was a big book in Chumash. And Chumash Rashi was like he was a big book in Chumash Rashi. So I asked him a question once in Chumash, simple question on the Pasha. There was a word there that I didn't understand what was going on. It was in the Kade, I remember. He had a habit, and then he had a question. So it was a question, he made a note of it. He just wrote it down, whatever. Story here and whatever. If he had an answer, he would come back to me the next day and say, well, come look at this, I saw that, you know, but he would never answer a question on the spot. And I never heard back from him on this question. I'm not exaggerating, but 15 years later, I moved to Eretz Yisrael, he was still in South Africa. It was an Arab Shabbos, I get a call. He says, I've got an answer to your question. Now, we'd learned together every day for 7.5 years. I didn't exactly know which question he was referring to, but I said, what are you talking about? He said, you remember the question you had in the Kedabit? I don't really remember the question, but when he showed it to me again, I realized, yep, that's a good question. I don't remember having asked the question. He had a note of it. He said, I was learning a Svorna this morning, went through the Svorna, and I realized that without your question, I wouldn't understand the Svorna. Your question helped me to understand the Svorna. So I'm funny to tell you, yeah, I think that's the terrorist. Your question is this Svorna. Look what a guy did with the question. He had a question. It wasn't even his question. Somebody asked him a question. Now it was his question. He owned the question. He made a note of it. He remembered it. I didn't even remember it. I just asked the question. Maybe I was showing off. I was trying to show you something and I really didn't. I don't know. I don't know what I was thinking. I don't remember the event. But he remembered it. And 15 years later, he said the Svorna had been bothering him for a long time. He couldn't get to it. And he realized, 1 second, the Shur's question, and that was the Teretz. My question was the Teretz to understanding the Svorna. You see, sometimes a question is an answer. Fine. Okay. That's, I think, just the beginnings of it. There's much more in this section of questions. I believe it's on the website. Rabbi Becker once gave a shiur on questions. There's 5 different levels of questions. What's in between a question, a demand, a request for information? Whole sugya of questions. In fact, there's a whole mahalach in the Bale Musa of growth just through questions, to understanding what a question is, what is not a question, how to work a question. And that's whole sugya on its own. I'll try and find it for you. Moedikashir. On just what's questions. What is a question? What defines a question? What is the definition of a question? What is? How do you know if somebody's asking you a question or giving you an answer or making a demand? Or a lot. There's a whole world of growth and Torah and Ruchnius just in understanding the world of questions. So there's more here, obviously, but I think that's the beginnings of the subject. And I said I did want to finish the chapter today. So now you have more questions, take them, build them, and come back with more questions. That's what we want. That's what we grow from questions. But once again, practical things that you need to know, that's why you have to shine, is it? If you don't know what to do, you're stuck with a question, in this corona thing, whatever, should you go back to work or not? You don't know what to do, you've got a question. So you don't sit there and go, wow, amazing question, wow, that's interesting. Sure, now at least I know what I don't understand. Fine, you might have to ask somebody a question to get an answer, because you don't know, obviously. You should walk around confused and just not know what you're doing and become immobilized because you have a question. No, sometimes you have to ask. You know, if your washing machine's not working, you don't know what the problem is, you might have to find a technician to come and fix it. Not about those kind of questions. But in learning and understanding and growth, allow the questions to sit because they're your best friends. Okay, shkoch for that. Kuf Lamed Zayin, at the bottom of the page. Just one more thing. If you have this demand, you always have an answer to your question. You're going to make up answers that are not correct. You see, the world does it all the time. Science does it all the time. They have to come up with an answer. They press for an answer, whatever. So they'll make up some Bobermeister story that will be an answer. And it'll be wrong, but they'll live with it for a while until they come up with another answer. And then they'll change it. And someone else will change it. And they never ever get to the truth. What's wrong with not knowing? Amazing. Rashi says it, you know, in many places Rashi says, I don't know what to tell you. wow, Rashi knew everything. No, Rashi didn't know everything. No one knows everything. But there's too much to know, even 1% of what needs to know. So if Rashi can say, no, Rabbi Lashav has psakim that say, I don't know. Rabbi Lashav? Wow, Rabbi Lashav said, I don't know. Yeah, you have to know what that means, I don't know, but Rabbi Lashav. It means he didn't know the halacha, or he didn't understand the metzias. There's a whole poem on what Rabbi Lashav's I don't know means. Halachically, what's the ramification? But the bottom line is, yeah, you also said, I don't know. So that's good. If I don't know means I don't know. I don't have to know. Okay. Fine. So yesterday we spoke about another massive yusoid that in Lamaisa is not so poshut. It's a difficult avoider. In theory, it's very nice. On the one hand, Mashif is a Maritzonis, and those are infinite and unlimited, and those are based on the ideal. I'm zoning in and focusing beyond myself, so far beyond myself, going into the world so far beyond myself, into the ideal. And that's where my focus is. And at the same time, I have to be real that I'm light years away from ideal, and the actualization of those dreams and yearnings and aspirations is far, far away. And I'm not down on myself because I'm not able to actualize those aspirations, because they're two completely separate subjects. Aspirations and yearnings can live in the world of ideal, can live in a world way beyond me, but I'm down here in this little world groveling around in the sandpit. And that doesn't scare me. That doesn't, because I understand it. Two different things. The Balos HaMalchu Shemaim, the relationship, the essence of the unconditional love relationship that I have with Hashem, is one thing. And my ability to serve Hashem properly in the avoider of Kabbalah's all mitzvahs is another story. And just because I'm not functioning properly in Kabbalah's all mitzvahs is not a steerer to the fact that my Kabbalah's all Malchus Shemaim is intact. We allow those two worlds to interfere with each other. And that's where we fall down. Now, knowing this is not going to help you. But it will help you to start the journey, but it's not going to help you, because you're going to have a hard time teasing these two worlds apart. Because the world we come from and the chinuch we've had, those are so ingrained. It's hard to even see them as two sugyas that need to be teased apart. It's just one big, bosa echad. You have to see these as two separate dynamics, and you have to tease them apart, and you have to be able to live with an unconditional relationship with Hashem and know that that's not interfered with one iota, irrespective of what you're doing. And then you have to go work in the world of doing and do the best you can. There's not an excuse for not doing. Hashem loves me, and I can do whatever I want, and he'll still love me, and I'll go, there's a Kabbalah for mitzvahs at the end of the day. We don't say, first, Kabbalah Malchus Shemaim, and forget about Kabbalah Sol Mitzvah. No. There's Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemaim. Then there's a Kabbalah Sol Mitzvah. You need both. And that we'll see in Mitzvah Shem as we're about to finish. We've got one more chapter left in this Sefer, and Mitzvah Shem is called Chelek Beis, which is also in the Sefer. It's in the volume, it's in the book. It's a separate Sefer. It's the Sefer that comes about the top, and Kabbalah Yisurim. We'll see when we get there. Yitzchak more than Avram. But that was Avram's Chiddush. Avram's Chiddush was, these are two separate sugyas, and I'm telling you now, it's hard work. Don't think just because you heard it once and now you got it and everything's fine. You're going to be down on yourself, and it's going to interfere with your Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemaim, because you're not actualizing the Kabbalah Sol Mitzvahs. That's why we've been brought up, that's why we've been trained, that's why we've been educated. If you went to yeshiva, for sure that's what you've got. There's no way to get away from it. But it's critically important to tease these two things apart. Okay, so let's take this one more step. There's one more very important nakudiya that he brings down. Famous question. We see as a big question. Different approaches to it. His approach is far more to what the Sfasemi says here. Kan aleinu lahavin. I'm the last paragraph of Kuf Lamed Zayin. Kan aleinu lahavin. Inyan amok v'chashuv. Here we have to understand something very deep and very important. The Pasha Shneel Shal Kriya Shema Lo Muska B'chol Moed Dechem. No. First, the Kabbalah Malchus Shemaim is in the singular. In the second parsha, Parsha's Vayim Shemaya, it's the Chol Levavchem plural, Tum Tikal Yisrael. The Kabbalah Malchus Shemaim is Tum to each Yochid. Each Kabbalah Malchus Shemaim is going to look very different. The individuals, Tum to the Yochid. The Kabbalah Mitzvah is Tum Tikal Yisrael. Tum Tikal Yisrael. So there, doesn't mention the Mo'adecha. The Mo'adecha, it doesn't say B'chol Mo'adecha. You have to love Hashem B'chol Avavchem, B'chol Nafshechem, and that's it, it stops. It leaves out the third one. So Christ, Akfulam, Afolshim, Alinian, there, it's a question, well known question, a lot of people ask this question. According to what we've said, we can understand this like this. Chazal Dorsha Apostle, Bechol Ma'adecha, Bechol Mido Mido, Shehu Ma'ide Lecho, Havi Ma'ide Lo, Ma'ad Boyd. What is Bechol Ma'adecha? We said, according to Chazal, the Gemara, they explained, is with every Mido and Mido that he measures you, every test, with every struggle, battle, test, challenge that he gives you, you have to thank him. Ma'ide Lo, Ma'ide Ma'ide. There's a lot of work in there. That chapter is not just a cute play on words. Chazal say this, there's depth there which we have to understand. What does Ma'oid have to do with Chidor? Has to do with Midah the Midah? We have to understand all of that. But the bottom line is that's how Chazal learned Pshat. Da'ag zu shel avodas Hashem b'chol modecha, he da'ag yavur b'yoseh, v'yafilu yoseh al da'ag b'chol nafshtocha. This level of b'chol modecha, according to this Pshat in Chazal, is higher than the dialogue of b'chol nafshecho. Why? Because death, as kiddush Hashem, you only have to do once. You do it, and that's it. It's over. You won the prize, and you go straight. You go straight home. That's it. Finished. V'lo chaim al kiddush Hashem kabbalus yisurim ba'ava kaimim b'chol eis b'chol rega. Living as kiddush Hashem, we makabel yisurim ba'ava. That could be a long process. That's not possible. This very high elevated level of B'chol Ma'adecho is only mentioned when it comes to Kabbalah Samachu Shemayim. Adam Kilo Melatzma. I'm not the Kabbalah Sol Mitzvahs, Klaimer B'Koyel, Einayim Masuga Lekaimo. But he says to himself, listen, in the Kabbalah Sol Mitzvahs, I'm very short of my goals. You know, yeah, I do the mitzvahs, whatever. In the middle of davening, I was thinking about something else. When I put on tefillin, I wasn't concentrating. I took off my tefillin, I couldn't even remember if I put on tefillin. I benched 5 minutes later, I wasn't sure. Head up benched. I was in the middle of Tzuka Rezimra, and somebody asked me a question, and I spoke, and I shouldn't have spoken. And a lot of whatever. Hey, I'm not, I got to davening late today. Oy vavoy. And yep, the Kabbalah Sol Mitzvahs is never perfect, is never b'shleimus. So I can't do that properly. And I have a Yetzer Hara there that gets in my way and prevents me from doing things and meshugas me and confuses me. Ach ein ze soises kabbalos ol mitz ol malchus shemayim sheli shetihi b'kol ha-shleimus. That doesn't stop my kabbalos ol malchus shemayim being b'shleimus. Shleimus, that's... B'pashu yishayne b'shifo esay, ani makabal al atzmi ol malchus b'shleimus. In the yearnings, in the aspirations, then I can do b'shleimus. I can yearn, walk, and I dream, and I yearn, big time. So there, the Kabbalah Samachu Shemayim is b'shleimus. Shamanim makabal v'daitu b'sichli kol midu amidu shakosh b'ocha ma'idati. Then, in that world, well, whatever you want, Hashem, I'm ready to jump into the fire for you. Oh, so go do it now? Oh, 1 second, not so fast. Zu pnimis nishmosoi shel yehudiya k'shuru b'ovus ave la'avish b'shemayim. That's the inner depth of your neshama that's bound to Hashem with love. At the same time, you're fighting the Yetzer on a day-to-day basis, minute by minute. The Yetzer is out there. And you're yearning to get Meshuchra from the Yetzer that you can serve Hashem properly. But what can you do? And that's what we say. It's known in front of Hashem. You know it. We want to do your will. We want to do your rotz. There's no one sitting here saying, I don't want to do what you want, Hashem. Everybody wants to do what Hashem wants. We all want to. It's going in the way. Why don't you? If you want to, so do it. There's a thing called Sol Shabaisa. There's the Yetzer Hara. There's the yeast in the dough that's called the Yetzer Hara. The Shibud Malchias. And the rulership of the world out there that prevents us from doing it. Sometimes forcefully, they won't let you. And sometimes, like today, in the world we live in today, with an insidious impact of the Bereisha mindset, which prevents us from serving Hashem. We shouldn't get into yush. Don't give up hope. Don't ever give up your dreams to get out of it. Don't extinguish your fire and your burning and your yearning for the relationship. Because you're not able to fulfill it. So you won't fulfill it. Shrashtei Parshas Heim Vishtei Avoides Heim Vishnei Spark. These are two separate sugyas. You're putting on tefillin perfectly, but your bench is not so good. You're stopping on tefillin. That's Meshuga. So too, yeah. The she'ifa, the yearning, the relationship, the Vishnei V'ra'ilam, that's one Parsha. The ability to live with that and to actualize the Kabbalah Sol Mitzvah, that's another Parsha. Just because you're not being Matzliach in the Kabbalah Sol Mitzvah doesn't mean that your Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim should go out the window. Okay, we ran out of time long ago. This is avoided. This is not something for the light-hearted. It's hard. But start. Start small. When you start being down on yourself, stop and say, one second. Where am I being down on myself? In the Kabbalah Sol Mitzvahs, in the Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim. If it's in the Kabbalah Sol Mitzvahs, put it aside for 1 minute. Put it aside. I'm not saying you shouldn't attend to it. Attend to it. But don't get down on yourself. And then go back and mechazik the Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim. Okay, to be continued. Well, we spoke about some big stuff yet today, and it's hard in half an hour to get it all across, but you have to take this and work with it. Tov. Okay.
I did a good job. Well done. Thank you.
Blessed. You want to tell me
something? Thank you so much.
Good word. All the best.
Back, Rabbi.
Okay.
Call two.
I hope we can have a chazar tomorrow morning just with how you ended off the game.